You're listening to the Study Legal English podcast, helping lawyers and law students become fluent in legal English. For more information, visit studylegalenglish.com. Hello, and welcome to episode 86 of the Study Legal English podcast. I'm your host, Louise, and today I'm going to give you an overview of what precedent is and how it works. I originally recorded this episode as a vlog, which is available on YouTube, and where I actually go and stand outside the Supreme Court of the UK in London and talk about this topic. You can find it by searching for Study Legal English on YouTube. And whilst you're there, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube to the YouTube channel. In this episode, after I've given you a brief introduction to the topic, we're going to listen to that recording. In the last podcast episode, I talked about how primary legislation is made in the UK, and there was a related vlog post on YouTube. In that episode, I mentioned that if you visit London and are looking for legal-related things to do, you can visit both the Houses of Parliament and the Supreme Court of the UK, which are opposite each other in central London. The Supreme Court of the UK is really worth visiting. I've visited courts in other countries where there has been little information for visitors, and the UK Supreme Court is not like this at all. There's lots of information there. It's really, really informative. And I've written a blog post about this called Top 10 Things to See and Do at the Supreme Court, which gives details about what you can see and do. You can find that on the Study Legal English blog. And if you're interested in finding out more about the role of the courts in England and Wales, then you can follow the podcast episodes grouped into the course called English Legal System, Module 3, Courts and Tribunals. If you search for Supreme Court or Courts on the Study Legal English website, you will find those posts. So, many of my legal English students are confused when it comes to talking about the common law and judicial precedent. It can be a difficult topic to understand, especially if you come from a civil law jurisdiction where the law is codified. In England and Wales, we do not have codified law in the same sense as civil law countries. We have different sources of law. For example, we have Acts of Parliament, but we also have rules which come from case law, law which is developed through the courts. Pay attention, this has nothing to do with the UK Constitution being uncodified. Sometimes I've had students get confused between countries with codified constitutions and a common law country. A common law country simply means that law is developed through the courts, through judicial precedent, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that country doesn't have a codified constitution. For example, look at the USA. That does have a codified constitution. However, it is still a common law country. So, interestingly, if you're thinking of studying law in England, you have to study statutes, but you also have to read cases. You have to find the rules of the cases, known as precedents. Equally, when a case goes to court, the lawyers rely on precedents when they present their case, and judges use previous cases. They use these precedents when making their judgment. In this episode, I'll go into a bit more detail about how precedent is used. Before we move on, I've got a question for you listeners. What are the pros and cons of judicial precedent? Send me in your answers to louise@studylegalenglish.com or join in the conversation on social media. Just search for Study Legal English or Legal Englisher. So now let's listen to that recording about precedent. Let's go. So many of you, when you think of the English legal system, will think of the common law. What is the common law? Well, it's law which is developed right here in the courts through precedent. And what is precedent? Well, precedent is a rule which is made by a judgment, by a court. And that rule must be followed by other courts, which are lower down the hierarchy,
And sometimes those precedents even bind the court which makes them. Now, it's a common mistake to think that the common law is not written down, because it is. Precedents are contained, and the court judgments which make those precedents, which set those precedents, are recorded in the law reports, and these are cited as authority in litigation when cases come up and go to court. Precedent is incredibly important for the common law because it ensures consistency. If judges didn't have to follow precedent in cases which had similar facts, then of course we would not know what the law was, and it would be very inconsistent and unclear. And what is precedent? Well, in a court decision, in a judgment, we normally find several things. First of all, the judge will state the facts of the case. Then we will find the applicable law, which is relevant to the case. And then there will be the judicial reasoning. The judge will talk about how he reached his decision. And this reasoning is known as the ratio decidendi. Nice Latin word there, which means the reasoning for the decision. This part is the precedent. This part is the thing which needs to be followed, and it's the thing which sets the rule. The other things which the judge says are known as obiter dictum. This means all of the other stuff. And whilst it doesn't set a precedent, it's what's known as persuasive precedent. It may be used to argue that the court should make a particular decision in another case. Of course, the courts don't always have to follow precedent. There are some ways for them to avoid it. The first option is to distinguish the case, and this is where the case before the courts is sufficiently different from the case which set the precedent. The facts are different, and therefore different law should apply. This is known as distinguishing. The second option is overruling, and this happens where a higher court, in a different case to the one where the precedent was set, changes the decision of the lower court, the precedent which was set by the lower court. This is known as overruling. And finally, we have what is known as reversing a decision, which is where a higher court in the same case changes the decision of the lower court. That's known as reversing a decision. There are some other ways, but these are the most common. And it's safe to say that as much as possible, courts try to follow precedent because they recognise the, first of all, supremacy of Parliament, that Parliament is the supreme legislator in the UK and the most important body that makes law. And secondly, they recognise the importance of consistency in the law.
Great, so that brings us to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found it useful. Don't forget to answer my question, what are the pros and cons of judicial precedent? Send me in your answers to louise@studylegalenglish.com or join in the conversation on social media. If you're listening to this on the Study Legal English website, you can, of course, leave a comment on this episode page, which you'll find at studylegalenglish.com/episode86. Of course, if you're a member of Study Legal English, you can access your benefits, including lots of vocabulary lists and exercises to help improve your legal English over on that same page. So thanks for listening and see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Study Legal English podcast. If you really want to get ahead, why not become a member and gain access to many learning resources? Visit studylegalenglish.com/pricing.